Right, now, folks, let's get into this. This is exciting. Last week, we were talking about hearing the voice of God. And one of the things that I love about hearing the voice of God is the confidence that we can have as believers to hear his voice. When I was in Israel many years ago, I was at the top of the Mount of Olives, and I was up there on a little donkey, and there was lots of kids around, and believe it or not, Coca-Cola was up there as well. So a little boy was trying to sell me Coca-Cola. I said Coke last night, and they all laughed. So I bought a bottle of Coke. In fact, I ended up buying four bottles to keep this little boy happy. He was adorable. And we were watching the shepherds bring their sheep in. It was becoming dusk, and we were watching the shepherds bring in their sheep in for the evening. And I said to the little boy, "Oh, that's funny." I said, "The shepherds are at the front. I thought they might be at the back, you know, directing the sheep where to go." And he said, "Oh, no," he said, "when they're at the back, that's not good." He said, "The shepherd leads the sheep, but," he said, "when they're at the back, it means they're going to be slaughtered." And I thought, isn't that interesting about how the Lord leads us, yet we often drive ourselves. But as a good shepherd, he leads us. Then I had bought too much bottles of Coke from this little boy, so I ended up finding out a little bit more about the shepherds. And one of the things that fascinated me was in the evening, the shepherds would all get together and they would have a big fire to keep lions and predators away. They would put all their sheep. I can't see Andrew Holden, and that's a travesty. There you go. And they would put all their sheep into this one pen. And then they would sit and they would tell their shepherd stories, and they would sit by the fire, and then they would have a sleep. And the next morning, shepherd number one would get up and he would go, "Chloe, Camille, Muriel, Kathy, Ben, Jake," and all the little sheep would come. Then the next shepherd, shepherd number two, he would get up and he'd say, "Andrew, Andrew." He was a bit slow, Andrew. And then he'd go, the next name, James, John, Isaac, Hiroshima, whatever they were called. And he would call them and out they would trot. And I think that is absolutely phenomenal, that the sheep learn to know the shepherd's voice. In the same way, as a very young mum, by instinct, I remember a whole nursery of babies crying, but I knew the cry of my baby. And we have to be confident. John 10:10 says, "My sheep hear my voice. The voice of another they will not follow." And that's the advantage of being in a community of faith, because we can test our hearing. Sometimes when I was, after I'd had my accident, it was only then that I realized that Trinity was lip reading. And she had actually got one ear completely blocked. And when you live in community and you watch one another, they can tell whether you're lip reading or whether you're really listening. But you learn more and more and more to listen to the voice of God. So last week we talked about hearing. This week we're talking about smell. And the scripture that we're looking at is Revelations 5, verse 8. And it's a fabulous scripture. You want to look into that scripture and read it. And it talks about the angels present our prayers as bowls of incense, sweet smelling, beautiful, wonderful, fragrances wafting up into heaven. That's an incredible image. You know, when I come back home from Ireland, before I come back home, I wash everything in my suitcase. And then whenever I open my suitcase, it smells of home. Everybody's home has a smell. I hope it's a good one. My parents' home smells differently from mine. But we all have, you know, you can tell when there's a good smell in the house and you can tell when there's a bad smell. It's actually quite funny, because this week I've had two incidences of bad smells. I had a bad smell in my fridge, and I was like a woman possessed trying to find it. And I find this little tiny, tiny thing that every time I opened the fridge was creating a problem. And also, we had a little accident with one of our puppies, which never happens, but it did happen. And I was like, walked into the lounge room, and it wasn't, is there, could there? No, the smell was real. And we can be like that as well. So I've got a wonderful panel here, and they're going to be talking about how they fill their bowl, how they fill the bowl that goes before God. And my challenge to you is to keep your bowl full. Keep your bowl full this week. Fill your bowl. When you're ready to pull your hair out, instead of pulling your hair out, fill your bowl with something that smells sweet, like an incense. So, Andrea, I'll start with you since you're the furthest away. Tell us a little bit about your prayer life.
Okay, I think my prayer life has altered a bit over time, and I think you do find that as you get older. Your memory gets a little bit less as well as you get a bit older. But generally speaking, the way my prayer life looks from a practical perspective is I try to always read the Bible before I go to work in the morning. So I just think that's a good way to start. I don't necessarily do much praying first thing, but I just like to read a bit of the Word. So whatever's on my mind, whatever I'm following at the moment, I'll read that. And I'm actually going through the Book of Kings at the moment, which is great from a man perspective to read the Book of Kings and see what happened with the kings and the good kings and the bad kings, everything through there. And then usually what happens is I drive into work, so I usually don't have the radio on. I find that quite a distraction now when I'm driving. So I'll usually use that time to pray, but also meditate about the day ahead. So I don't necessarily always sort of pray specifically to God, but I'll meditate. But sometimes I will pray about some specific things that are on my heart. And the same thing on the way home. I'll do that on the way home as well. So I think one of the key things is when you get home and when you get in the door at night, you don't know what's going to greet you. From a family perspective. So it's always good to have that bit of a time when you can have a bit of rest time with God as well before you get in the door. So that's sort of from a practical perspective. But generally speaking, my prayer time, I don't have a set prayer time at all. I try to make it as natural and integrated into my life as possible.
That's good advice. I like your advice on the re-entry back into the family or your re-entry back into the workplace. That's what I call it. I call it my re-entry. And I try to think about that before I walk in. And also I like the thought of the naturalness, the organic version almost of prayer, rather than prayer being something that you start and something that you stop. For me, I think that life becomes a continuous prayer with specific times where you may pray differently. But that's a great thought, Andrew. Thank you. Hannah, what about you?
Okay, so my habits, I guess, have come from, like, growing up. We've prayed a lot in our house. It's just part of what you do any time. It doesn't, and so that's how I feel now, that it doesn't have to be a certain time or a certain place to pray because God's always there. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. So sort of like what Andrew was saying, I just feel like it can be just sort of a constant stream of communication. And we were talking about prayer at youth, and I remember explaining to some of the young girls, because this works for them, that like it's like when you talk to God, it can be just like texting your best friend.
Yeah,
so it doesn't
great.
Have to be like a major deal, but you just want to say hi, you just want to check in, just see how they're doing. And that's what God wants to have with you. He just wants to be involved in your life and be there in the ins and outs. And then when you do have a problem, he's right there. He's not far away. Doing the dishes, driving the car, walking to school, we always prayed. So you don't have to do it out loud, but God knows. So
now, maybe because you're the youngest one on our panel, was there ever a time that, and this might encourage some parents, was there ever a time that you thought, well, prayer's okay for you, Mum, but I'm just not sure where it sits for me? Did you ever go through that transition yourself?
Yeah, I think that's part of growing up in terms of all things with faith and church, that you have to decide that you're not just going to come along because that's what you have to do, or you're not just going to pray because that's what Mum does. But I would encourage parents to keep praying with your kids. It does make a big impact, even though sometimes maybe when like you're in the car and it's just like you're a captive audience, you have to pray if she's praying. But like it does make an impact long term, and like the scriptures that we've prayed when we were little, like we all know them off by heart just because of repetition, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Like that's one of them that I know, because it does make an impact. So don't underestimate the power of praying over your kids and praying with your kids. Midnight prayers, there's been a lot of them. So yes. It's just like anytime, anywhere.
Wonderful. That's great. I like what you were saying about the captive audience. I used to pray, because first of all, my family made fun of me, but every time I saw an ambulance, I would just go off like a siren myself, praying. And for one whole year, I didn't. And then my husband repented and he said, I feel so bad. He said, because, you know, I didn't pray out loud, so everybody didn't join with me, but I did pray myself. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I hear the siren of an ambulance or I hear a police car, I think, first of all, am I doing something wrong? And then the next thing I think, can I get out of the way if it's an ambulance? But then next I think, the Bible says in Proverbs that there is wisdom in the house of mourning. Now, whether that person is going to make it or not make it, it's very rare for an ambulance to visit a home or you to see an ambulance in with lights on and not think for a moment about what that could mean for that family. And so I pray for wisdom that the family will think about mortality. I pray for the person that they will either be healed or that they will see, that they will meet Jesus. And I pray for Christian people to be around them, for believers to help them. And, you know, then I get this picture in my heart. I pray the prayer of faith, and I actually have got this vision of when I get to heaven, there's going to be these people who will bang me in the arm and go, you know what? I didn't die then, but what happened was it gave me such a shock and I ended up trying to find out the meaning of life, which led me to this and led me to that. And now look, I'm here. Thank you for starting off the journey. Or someone else saying to me, banging me in the arm and going, you know what? I actually died in that car accident. But what happened is there was a moment before I lost, while I was in unconscious, and Jesus appeared to me. And I said, yes, I trust you, and I'm here because of that. And I have a very clear picture of that. So I do take advantage of the captive audiences as well. But those are great. That's great encouragement. I've certainly been through it with my eldest daughter, Gigi, and she's now come to a beautiful place of her own faith. And, Paris is at that 14-year-old thing, which can be challenging. What about yourself?
Yeah, I like Hannah, I think anywhere and everywhere, but also like Andrew, I'm deliberate in the mornings particularly. I did find that years ago when I'd wake up, if I was a bit tired or anything, I'd have a bit of negativity that seemed to sort of come over me and I'd just be thinking about, you know, how this is not right or that's not right and all that. And then I decided to press into God deliberately in the morning and to actually praise. So to to get some praise music and just the first thing. So as soon as I'd get out of bed, I'd go and find a quiet place in the house, which is probably normally a spare bedroom or something, and just start praising. I wasn't screaming the house down, so I didn't wake everybody up. But but you know, I was praying in my spirit and I was praising, and I found that what would happen is that it was great at the time, but then automatically what happened after a period of time is I would wake up. And I would just have praise happening in my head, like I would just have music just playing. And so, yeah, I'd actually, my brain had changed to where it would automatically be negative to be automatically praising and automatically hearing that kind of message coming through. And it was just, you know, it was very inspiring and certainly a great way then to be able to get into the Word. I had a funny thing because I mentioned I would go and find, you know, like a spare bedroom or somewhere that's quiet in the house. And I remember on more than one occasion we'd have somebody come and stay, and that was kind of normally in the spare bedroom. So then I had to go and find somewhere else. And one morning Linda found me in the laundry. So she had a laugh and I had a laugh too. But
cleaning yourself up. Why not the laundry?
Yeah, doing some washing as well. But no. But yeah, so I love like Andrew, I love starting the day with praise and with prayer, and I think that it really helps to set up the day as well. Mm. To be able to press into God and to spend time. Sometimes it might be, you know, sometimes it might be 5 minutes. Sometimes it might be, you know, half an hour. Praying and praising and then reading the Word. But I don't necessarily think it's the amount of time. I think it's, you know, your heart when you're actually going into it. And at times we do feel a little bit. We might feel a little bit dry as we're entering into His presence. But I think as we go deeper into His presence and praise and thank Him, that it really just starts to well up and you really step into His presence a lot more.
That's great. It's great to see the change. And I think, as Andrew said, a change does happen. I remember when I was a lot younger, spending all nights in prayer. But one of the things that I find actually on the other side of the day, at the end of the day, the last thing I do at night is to actually sit down comfortably and just play back in my mind the whole day, almost like a video. And I play it back and I sense where God's presence rested, where I felt the gaze of heaven. So where I knew that I was pleasing my Father, that I knew that we were in union. And then I look at the things that didn't, where His presence lifted and I knew I was in the wrong space. And then I would ask the Holy Spirit to show me what fruit of the Spirit I would need for the next day. So sort of setting up the next day, similar to what you are talking about, but also setting up the night before a little bit. Yeah. And so I would ask Him what was the fruit of the Spirit that I would need to take into the day. And that has become the same sort of thing. So whatever the fruit is that He's working on in my life, because it changes depending on what's going on, patience is a good one at the moment. Rob was dressed, ready to come to church today. But then he was exhausted. So patience, compassion, love. So openness. I find that what I meditate on at night then is what comes to me first thing in the morning. So that has been really helpful to me. And just thinking about the Hebraic way of thinking, the Hebrews said there was evening and there was morning the first day, and how the Sabbath for them starts on the Friday afternoon, starts on the evening and goes into the morning. And I think that certainly for me has been a really good close off to one day and a really good start for the next day. One of the things that Veronica Dogliotti mentioned yesterday, last night, was just actually sitting in the presence of God, just spending relationship time rather than go to God with a list. And I think you commented a little bit on that, Hannah.
So you were talking about with the scripture that it's like your prayers are like incense and you want it to have like a pleasant aroma or a pleasant smell with your prayers to God. And so as you were saying that, I was thinking, like, often when we pray, we come with, like, now, God, I need A, B, C, D, and I need it by this time at this place. And, like, I just think it's not going to bring a pleasant aroma. It's not, if you were to talk to a friend like that, they wouldn't stick around very long. The conversation wouldn't feel very natural. It wouldn't, they wouldn't want it to continue. And I feel like if we want to talk to God, then just talk to, like, model it on how you'd want someone to talk to you. And so spending time to listen, spending time to ask questions, but not coming with the agenda and not coming with a way that you expect the conversation to go either. And also with, like, that conversation idea that no two people talk the same. So I think it's the same with prayer, like, God has the ability to speak to us all and we can speak to Him in different ways. You don't want to compare it or think that someone else is better than you. So it's just about figuring out, like, the two of you, it's your relationship, so how's it going to work for you?
I think
I think lists and stuff is never going to, it'll only take you so far.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's amazing what you learn from your children. About 5 years ago, Gigi said to me, "Is God deaf?" I said, "What do you mean?" And she says, "Well, he must be deaf because you and everybody else shout at him all the time." So I clearly had ticked the box on shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. And she said, "You know what?" She said, "You say God's your best friend. If I talked like that to my best friends," she said, "I wouldn't have any." And she said, "When does the time for listening come?" And that's what you're talking about, Hannah. It's that natural, not coming with a set agenda, I think, is pretty stunning. Would you like to add anything to that, Matt?
Yeah, I with what Jacob was just saying just recently about hearing, I think it was a really good reminder. I think we can get passionate in our prayer, and God wants us to be passionate in our prayer, but he also wants us to listen passionately as well. And that's normally when you're not talking. So
yeah, that's a good point. Two ears, one mouth. Yes, yes. What about you, Andrew? Anything on that?
I think the main thing for me is that sometimes when we just sort of sit in the still, small voice of God and in the silence, just so easy to get distracted with other voices coming in. Yeah. And I think you've just got to be really deliberate to get rid of those and basically just tell them to nick off, or however you say it in whatever words you would say. But I think that's really important, just to, you know, don't sort of get bad on yourself if you do have other thoughts coming in. Just direct them back to God and say, "Lord, I really want to spend time with you, and I'm getting all this other stuff coming in. Can you just help me do that so I can just make the most of this time I have with you?"
That is a really good point, Andrew. And one of the things I have learnt, how funny is it with your memory? When you want to remember something, you find it really difficult. But when you want to forget, there's nothing like remembering something if you want to forget it. And so what I do with those thoughts is, instead of actually wrestling with them, I just think, "Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm human. I'm just going, that's an interesting thought. Where did that come from? Okay, Lord, that's yours." And it's the same sort of thing, but instead of actually wrestling it. And I love that scripture which talks about bringing captive every thought onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I used to go, "Right, I'm going to get that thought and I'm going to get it. I'm going to..." But now I see it more. I was actually watching Trinity one day and totally caught up in watching her trying to catch butterflies. And I sensed the Holy Spirit say to me, "That is, your thoughts are just like, they're just like floating little butterflies that come and go in the wind." And so I've become as determined but more gentle in the catching of the thoughts and bringing them onto the Lord Jesus and handing them over to him. And I find that that has helped me. Now, Andrew, I want to ask you a question, because you're often a person that I would turn to because I do admire your prayer life and I admire the fact that you hear from God. Tell us how in your prayer life you get those impressions or those pictures. How does that come? You know, is it through writing, or is it a visual thing, or how does it work for you so that others can hear a little bit about that?
Again, this has changed for me. I used to actually get a lot of pictures. I don't get as many anymore, and I'm not quite sure why, but anyway, that's okay. I get impressions. That's the way I get. So I actually get thoughts build and form in my mind. So it's like a nebulous. It's all, I don't know whether that's the right word, or an embryo or something like that. Something comes, and it just seems to build and grow. And, you know, it's just one of these things which sometimes it takes a little bit of time, though. So quite often you might get a thought about something and you just got to let it bubble there, or you just got to let it sort of ferment a little bit in order for it to build or grow a little bit. So at the moment, I just allow that to happen. And again, try not to be too impatient with that sort of stuff as well. Mm. So it's really just allowing that to grow in and then learn to let it grow before you actually speak.
I think that's a key point. The Bible says that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And the word there is guava, which means to gather drop by drop. And when you're very young in the Lord, you want to just say the first thing that comes to your mind. But as things brew, it's like a good stew or a good wine, the longer it sits, the better it gets. And I think then those are the things that become our prayers. So the thoughts of God become our thoughts, and they then become our prayers. And one of the things that I realized back about 4 years ago, the Holy Spirit was really doing a number on me in regard to, I thought I was selfless, but in actual fact, I realized how selfish, how many areas of selfishness that I had in my life. And even down to something as discreet or as hard to pinpoint as this, but we say, I just want God's will for my life. Now, you might think there's nothing wrong with that, but actually, what our role on this earth is for us to bring heaven to earth, for us to actually align ourselves with God's will, not to try and bring him into a place where, you know, we are satisfied because it's about my life. No, it's about his plan and purpose on the earth. And it's a very, very subtle difference, but it does change the way you pray, and it changes the way you offer your prayers to God. It changes it adjusts you from God, you know, I just want to do your will, to Lord, inquiring more. What is your will for, what would you like? What instead of I want to, what would you like? What works for you? And that has been, and then as that bubbles, as that thought, one of the thoughts that is bubbling in my spirit at the moment is justice as a lifestyle. Justice is not just something that we do by purchasing a teddy bear or signing a petition. Justice is, what is the right thing for me to do now in my relationship with my daughter, in my relationship with my husband, in my relationship with my friend? In fact, I was at a meeting on justice, and someone who has been particularly cruel to me over the last probably 10 years was there. There's sort of a you stay in your space and I'll stay in my space kind of relationship between us. But I thought, no, you know what? Justice walks across the room right now. Justice goes and embraces them. Justice goes and says, how are you? How's your family? And, you know, it's how does that look? Because if that's what the Lord requires of me, Micah 6 verse 8, to love mercy, to love justice and to walk humbly with your God, what does justice mean to you? So that's bubbling, and it'll bubble and simmer there. And yesterday I was asking myself, right now in this relationship with one of my children, what's the right and fair? Justice is about putting things the way God wants to see them. So how can I put this the way God wants to see it? So I appreciate that bubbling thing. How about getting, you know, when I think about that scripture about the golden bowl, I love to put candles on in my home so that there's a smell, or else a little vaporizer when I see the little, you know, little steam go up. What are some of the ways that you allow for that to happen, Hannah, in your life?
I think, like, as followers of God and as people of faith and people that pray, there should be something about us that it's not that we try really hard to show off God, but we should just not be able to help it. And I had an experience a couple of weeks ago when I was at uni, and it was towards the end of semester, and this in my uni course we get to do cooking, and so we were just chatting as we were doing the dishes, and people talking because they're pretty stressed about exams and assignments stacking up. And she's like, what about you, Hannah? You're not stressed. Like, you're always, always so calm. Like, so calm. How does that work? Like, what do you do? And I was like, I think in my head, I'm like, okay, how do I go with this? And I'm just like, all right, well, I just pray. That's what I do. And she's like, oh, okay. And like, it didn't get weird or anything, that we just sort of moved on. But there was something that, like, I don't consciously say anything, but there was just something she'd observed. And I think that sort of aroma, it can't really be, like, contained, maybe. It just...
Love it. Just just happens. Permeates. It's a permeating.
And it's not like God doesn't want us to strive for that, but if we just sort of get in a place where we want to be with Him and He's with us, then it just happens.
That's good. That's very good. Anything you want to add, Matt?
Sometimes also, so leading on from that, sometimes we don't think that we're making much of a difference or no one's noticing too much. We feel like, we're joyful, 99% of the time. And then it can actually be just those other times when people really notice. And I've had that at work on a few occasions where people have like stopped and said, what's the matter? Like, because they're like, you're always happy or you're always, seem to always be happy and everything. So I think, it's important for us to be real and let people know what's happening as well. In those other times when we do have a bit of a challenge, and then what you'll find too is that people feel like that they can be real with you when things are challenging their circumstances as well.
Lovely, fantastic. Well, we're just going to spend a moment and fill our bowls a little bit. Psalm 141 verse 2 says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. So let me invite you to close your eyes for a moment. And I don't know how you choose to do this, but I just want you to open your heart to the Lord and just make an offering of your life to Him. When I do this, I see like a little child who has prepared a gift and is so excited to give you the look of delight on their face and the look of delight on the parents' face as they receive this gift. And it may not be something that looks perfect, but it's something that you are bringing to God. And as you do, there is that connection, there is that joy, there is that sharing. Maybe you can see a picture of friends, they've maybe cooked up a beautiful soup and they've passed it from one to the other, and you're sharing the fragrance and the nurture of that. Just spend a moment to get in touch with the fact that God Himself has given you breath. And allow your heart to be grateful for that. For some of you, this may be difficult, but stick with it. God delights in the praises of His people. If you're sensing the Spirit of God on you, you might want to respond. I find sometimes just even smiling back at God and allowing me to see His smile, the gaze of heaven on me, on you. There's something very powerful about knowing that you have the God of the universe 100% on your side. And right now, it's just you and Him, allowing His presence, His smile, His pleasure to be on you, and you, your pleasure, looking back to Him. Allow it to move from your head right down into your heart. However you see it or feel it, I sense that His gaze right now is bringing healing. Strength. Wholeness. Rest. Clarity. insight, pleasure, correction, release, deep joy, calm, something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Oh, Father, we just thank you that your word promises us that you will go before and you will be our rear guard. That your word promises that your presence will go with us and you will give us rest. Not rest that lifestyle promises, but rest that heaven promises. And I thank you that heaven always delivers on its promises. And Lord God, you are always true on your promises. Father, help us not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you, to be grateful to you, to include you, to walk with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. There we go, you got full balls. Keep them full this week. Just keep talking to the Lord. Keep a conversation open. You know, the Bible says that he is Emmanuel, God with us, an ever-present help in time of trouble. So, you know, when someone asks you to pray, just pray there and then if you can, because he's there. So it's like you asking me to pray and me saying to Hannah, we'll pray about that later, when you're just there. Let's just make it such a natural and organic part of our lives to keep those bowls filled. Amen. Not another chore, not another duty, just out of relationship and desire.